wonder if you've ever been in an earthquake. Some of you may have been in a really bad one. I don't know. I've definitely been in one. About 25 years ago, Catherine, my wife, and I were buying a microwave from Apollo in Lancaster. And suddenly we heard a bit of a bang and the ground shook for about 1 second. And Catherine looked at me and said, "Was that an earthquake?" And I said, "Yeah." And that was it. Some of you may have been much worse earthquakes and had to flee, because the thing is, when an earthquake happens, you don't want to be in the middle of it. You want to be as far away as possible. As far away as possible. And I guess for some of us, we may never have been in an earthquake, but we feel that somehow an earthquake's been in us. Things have happened to us. Things that we've done. Things that we regret. Things that others may have done to us that have just left us feeling like we're in the middle of a pile of rubble. And it's not a physical earthquake. It's an emotional, spiritual earthquake, and it's right in the middle of here. And I don't know if that's how you feel. I don't know if that's where you've been. But what if it could be a different kind of an earthquake? All you need to do, Google YouTube and ask for reverse demolitions, and you'll get 20 minutes, half an hour, as long as you like, and just watch those all day long. Except you won't get paid for doing it. I did. Okay. What if it could be a different kind of an earthquake? Earthquakes happen when on the earth, these crusts, or just call them tectonic plates, forget about it, but they kind of are pushing against each other on a fault line. And when that push happens, it actually can shake the earth, and the earth moves, and then problems happen. If it's under the sea, then you end up with tsunamis that wreck the shorelines. If it's in the ground, then we see some of the terrible things that happen. But on the day of resurrection 2,000 years ago, it actually says a violent earthquake happened as the ladies were going to the tomb to embalm Jesus' body. This violent earthquake happened. The stone was rolled back. But what if it was a different kind of an earthquake? What if somehow it wasn't a physical earthquake? It was an earthquake that somehow quaked eternity into time. Quaked through the presence of God into the physical reality of our world and changed things forever. What if it was a different kind of an earthquake where the presence and the power of God quaked into resurrection reality? What if that happened? What if it really, really happened? When the New Testament was being written, some of the writers, people like Paul and Peter, they had an amazing ability to, sometimes in a sentence, sometimes in a short paragraph, pull together something of the powerful and amazing meaning of what it meant for Jesus to die on a cross, to be buried in a tomb, and then to rise from the dead. And I just wanted to look at two or three of those this morning, just so that we can get our heads around what was going on 2,000 years ago, but actually what's still going on now. Paul wrote to a church in Corinth, which is on the kind of the Mediterranean world 2,000 years ago, and he wrote a very simple phrase where he said, "God made him," that's Jesus, "who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Paul's making sense of what happened to Jesus on the cross, and he sums it up in a single sentence like this. And to unpack it a moment, it's that when Christ died on the cross, the thing that killed him was you and me. Who we are and what we are, that was the thing that killed Christ, because when we live our lives and we do things that are wrong, it's not just that we do things that are wrong, we do it out of the wrong that we are. Now, some of you might say, "Oh, I'm not that bad." All I have to do is say, are there things in your life that if you could turn the clock back, you'd do it again differently because you regret it deeply? Things that you would be ashamed of? Are there things that you know if you stood before a holy, eternal God right here, right now, you'd want to run out the door because you'd be so frightened of his presence and his holiness because you weren't. Well, all of that, Paul writes to the Corinthian church and said, all that destruction of our lives, whether it's stuff we've done out to others or whether it's stuff that's done in here or in here, all of that, everything that would normally cut us off from God, Christ took the shame of that. He took the guilt of it. He took the penalty of it. He took it on the cross for you and me. He actually takes it away from us and he takes it on himself. So if it's taken away from us, we're not wrong anymore. We're right. Amazingly, we're right. We're right with God because of what Christ did on the cross. Peter, the very first time Peter stood up to tell good news, he'd been filled with the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. And he stood up in front of thousands of people and tried to explain and did explain what had happened. And he said when Christ was in the grave, when he was in that stone-cold tomb, there was something about it that couldn't keep its grip on him. And he explained it like this. He said, God raised Jesus from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. My sin killed him, but that he was the perfect human being, death had no grip on him. The thing that keeps us dead is the judgment on our sin. But that couldn't hold Jesus. It had no right to him. So when the Holy Spirit burst into that tomb that day, took a hold of Jesus' body, and he breathed resurrection life. Peter says it like this, it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. So Paul tells the Corinthians, Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us, and that's what killed him. Peter says, but death couldn't keep its grip on him. Paul goes on and he writes eventually to a church in Rome. And he says that when you come to a place where you believe these things, then that's a place where you can discover the resurrection life for yourself. Hang on a minute, you say, I'm not sure I believe all this stuff. Well, I don't sometimes. I'm a doubter. A bit like Thomas, who on the day of resurrection, he said, well, I don't believe it. I know dead men don't breathe, and you know that too, don't you? I mean, some of you are medics. Some of you have been with dead bodies, and you know that once you're dead, you're dead. And Thomas says that. He says to the disciples, you might think you've seen him, but I know you haven't, and you know, unless I can put my fingers in the nail prints in his hands, unless I can put my hand in the spear mark in his side, I don't believe that dead men breathe. And you might be like that. You might say, well, this Christianity, it's a load of rubbish. They believe a myth. When I struggle with doubts, I time and time again just go back to people like Luke, who wrote the good news that we call Luke's gospel, and he also wrote the book of Acts. And he's one of the most accurate social historians from the first century AD. And that's just not me saying it. That is social historians who aren't Christians, but keep going back to Luke to find out what the society of the time of Luke in the Roman world was like. And they say again and again and again and again, Luke is accurate. The Gospel of John is accurate. And people like Luke, who were determined to encounter eyewitnesses before they wrote it down, determined to check the truth out before they wrote it down, then wrote down and said, Jesus rose from the dead. So I stand on the word of God and I bring that to you this morning and say, you might doubt and that's okay. You might have huge question marks. That's okay. But a day to have a look at history and realize that these guys weren't messing about. They were telling truth. And so Paul writes to the Romans and he says this, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart. So you move from a place of doubt to a place of faith. You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. That's another way of saying you'll have resurrection life, eternal life in you. And that you will know God's presence, his love, his peace, his forgiveness, his grace. You'll know it now and forever. And that is the story of Easter Day. Paul writes to Corinth and says, God made Christ who didn't know sin to become sin for us. So he died on a cross. Peter writes and says, death couldn't hold him. It had to let go of its grip and he rose from the dead. And Paul invites you to believe. Invites you to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And speak it out with your mouth and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. I wonder if you need a reverse resurrection in your life. I wonder if you need to see the rubble of what you are experiencing. Some of the mess of what you know you've been through in life. Some of the dust of all the failure of your life. I wonder if you need to see that being completely changed around. I wonder if you'd long to say, if just something decent would rise from the way my life is going right now. If something good would happen out of what I've been through, my failure, my guilt, my shame, if only somehow something new could be built in me. And that is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in you. That's what he longs to bring into your life. He longs to bring forgiveness. He longs to bring his love. He longs to bring his grace and his presence that we don't deserve. He longs for you to know resurrection life, and all you have to do is take a step of faith towards him, and he'll give it to you. He will give it to you. This is his Easter Day gift for you. Receive it from him. Let's pray together. Just in the quietness as we pray, it may be you identify with that and you'd say, my life's an earthquake mess. And I need that resurrection quake in me. I need that transformation. I need that change because all I'm doing is living in the dust of my own despair. Will you receive Jesus this morning? Receive his resurrection life for you. Write this Easter story. Let him write this Easter story into your life. There's a resurrection prayer on the screen that you could pray. You may have never prayed it before. It might be the right thing for you to pray it for the first time ever. Or maybe you prayed a prayer like this before and you know you need to pray it again. It reads like this, Lord Jesus, I know you love me. And your death on the cross meant you took the punishment for sin I deserve. Please forgive me and clean me from all my guilt and my shame. I confess you as the resurrected Lord, as the Lord of my life. Please receive me as a child of God. And fill me with the life-changing presence of your Spirit. Just in a moment of quietness, maybe pray that prayer for yourself for the first time ever.